Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from everyday office etiquette, bullying, to handling pet peeves. Also, we remind you to initiate acts of kindness. If you are listening live, call 917-889-7821. And here is your host, communication and socialization expert, speaker, and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Today is Saturday, May 12, 2018. We are broadcasting live from the lovely and warm, hot city of Atlanta. This evening, we will salute mothers. You just heard some of the special song that is entitled Mama. So we're going to be celebrating and talking about mothers and grandmothers and aunties and all those other special ladies that are a part of our lives. Well, listen, thank you, loyal listeners, for joining us on this special Saturday. Thanks for being a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. I want to also thank our new listeners for joining us this evening. We're just so delighted that you're taking time out to listen in. But listen, for the new listeners, part of our tradition, we like to begin the show by simply answering the question, what is etiquette anyway? Because that's the name of the show. And the best way to provide the answer is just to talk a little bit about the backstory or the origin of etiquette, if you will. Etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, I don't know if that's what you want, but I know that is certainly what I want. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Kudos to Charles I and II for doing that. Well, once again, good evening, Good evening, good evening. I would like to bring on my special co-host this evening, which is Mr. Kima. Mr. Kima, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing today?
How are you? I'm doing well. First of all, happy Mother's Day to you. I know you're a mother.
Same to you. Thank you.
And thank you so much, too. Well, so excited about this show this evening. And let me let you guys know that, yes, you can send us a message. You can email your comment to etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to give us a call and join the conversation, you can certainly do that by calling 917-889-7821, 917-889-7821. Well, Mother's Day. What a big day, huh?
Yes,
it is. And we're going to talk about a few things this evening. And, Takeem, I know I want to talk a little bit. I want to kind of start out by talking about the origin of Mother's Day. And we probably have some people, listeners probably thinking, origin? What? Have you ever heard of the origin?
Yes, I have. I heard a little bit about the origin of Mother's Day.
Yeah, it is. I often like backstories and to find out how things were put in place. I find them so very interesting. But I want to start just by reading audience a little bit of this. It was Jarvis's daughter, Anna Jarvis, who finally succeeded in introducing Mother's Day in the sense as we celebrate it today. Anna graduated from the female seminary in Wheeling and taught in Grafton for a while. Later, she moved to Philadelphia with her family. Anna had spent many years looking after her ailing mother. This is why she preferred to remain in Spencer. When her mother died in Philadelphia on May 9, 1905, Anna missed her greatly. So did her sister, Elsinore, whom she looked after as well. Anna felt children often neglected to appreciate their mother enough while the mother was still alive. Now she intended to start a Mother's Day as an honoring of the mother's. In 1907, 2 years after her mother's death, Anna Jarvis disclosed her intention to her friends who supported her cause wholeheartedly. So supported by her friends, Anna decided to dedicate her life to her mother's cause and to establish Mother's Day to honor mothers living and dead. She started the campaign to establish a National Mother's Day. With her friends, she started a letter-writing campaign to urge ministers, businessmen, and congressmen in declaring a national Mother's Day holiday. She hoped Mother's Day would increase respect for parents and strengthen family bonds. As a result of her efforts, the first Mother's Day was observed on May 10, 1908, by a church service honoring late Mrs. Reese Jarvis in the Andrews Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia, where she spent 20 years taking Sunday school classes. Grafton is the home to International Mother's Day Shrine. Another service was also conducted on the same date in Philadelphia, where Mrs. Jarvis died, leaving her two daughters, Anna and Elsinore. So it was more of a homage service for Mrs. Reeves Jarvis than a general one conducted in honor of motherhood. Nevertheless, this set the stage for the later Mother's Day observances held in the honor of motherhood. And it kind of goes on. It's a pretty long article. I'm not going to go through the entire article, but I do want to just sort of mention how it actually became, widespread throughout the throughout the country, if you will. It has the Mother's Day International Association came into being on December 12, 1912, to promote and encourage meaningful observances of the event. Starting from 1912, Mother's Day began to be officially declared a holiday by some states. Anna's dream came true when in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson declared the first National Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag in honor of those mothers whose son had died in war. And then the House of Representatives in 1913 unanimously adopted a resolution requesting the president, his cabinet, the members of both houses, and all officials of the federal government to wear a white carnation on Mother's Day. On May 7, 1914, a resolution providing that the second Sunday in May be designated Mother's Day was introduced by Representatives James Heflin of Alabama and Senator Morris Shepherd of Texas. It passed both houses, and on May 9, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made the first official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May. He asked Americans to give a public expression of reverence to mothers through the celebration of Mother's Day. And let's applaud President Woodrow Wilson for that. That is absolutely amazing. So that's when Mother's Day officially began, in the early 1900s. Isn't that interesting, Takima?
That is interesting. Very interesting.
Wow. Well, what's one of the special things you think about when you think of Mother's Day?
I would say one of the special things I would think about with Mother's Day is some of the sayings my grandmama used to say that I have taken with me throughout the years would come to mind. Because as a mother, you know, we always have our goods and our bads, our gems and our pearls, and we always have all those things that we go through in life. And so I just sit back and think about how they made it over. You know, how they got us through being 40, you know, and my grandmother is now 78, and my mom is like 50-something. So I think about all the things they said to me and how I passed them down to my daughter.
Oh, yeah. It's just really, and they were so wise, you know. They were had so much wisdom, and it is just absolutely amazing. I can remember my mom recalling some of the things that she would say, and didn't necessarily understand them at the time, being really small. But as you grow up and mature, you start thinking, oh, that's what she was talking about. Because I remember one of the things she said is excuse me so much. I think I read too much. Excuse me one second. Okay. One of the things she used to say was, no one will go through this world on flower beds of ease. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. That's very interesting.
Yeah, when hearing that when I was really little, I'm thinking, I'm just picturing a flower bed, and, you know, but what that means is everyone is going to have some type of trial or tribulation. Everything is not going to be totally easy. And so in saying that, just kind of preparing that, there are going to be some difficulties that you're going to face in life. And so do know that. And then, but do know also that you can overcome those. So that was just one of the things that she mentioned. I mean, it's just so many, I call them momisms, if you will, right. that she would say. But you know something, just backing up for a minute, Hakima, when you look up the word mother in the dictionary, according to Webster Dictionary, what the definition for mother is a female parent.
Right.
Okay. But, I mean, I respect Mr. Webster, but we have to add on a few different things
right.
to that because it could be, you know, the mom, it could be mom and dad rolled into one, teacher,
mm-hmm.
friend, counselor, doctor, nurse,
author,
you know,
yes.
chauffeur, lawyer, role model, mentor.
Yes.
I mean, so many others. So I kind of got tickled when I looked that up a few years ago, and it just said a female parent. I was like, okay, all right.
I know as a mother, we wear so many titles
mm-hmm.
for that to be the definition. Because as a mother, I think we doctors, we lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
We just hold so many titles, and I don't think to just say a female, because we hold, you know, so many titles. So I agree with you. That definition needs to be a little broader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I thought, okay, so we can just detail that out a little bit. But once again, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? This is our part one of our Happy Mother's Day show. And Happy Mother's Day to all of you out there listening, whether you are a mother, a grandmother, or auntie, whether you're a daughter, just whoever you are and the role that you're playing to someone. You usually are mothering someone. So the definition of mother does not necessarily mean if you actually gave birth to a child. And see, a lot
Correct.
Of times women are, they don't think just because they've never actually had a child biologically, that does not necessarily not make them a mother. But I think everyone is mothering someone these days. What do you think?
I agree. I agree. I grew up in a household with 14 kids, and I do believe that it takes a village to raise kids. And that being
mm-hmm.
said, you know, growing up, you kind of like, I remember neighbors that would, you know, take on the role of mothers, and they didn't even have kids. And so we would go
mm-hmm.
around and pass out roses to them because they were mothers. They were mothers to the kids in the neighborhood, even though they had no kids.
Yeah, yes, mm-hmm. and it is so important for us to, you know, certainly get back to, if you see a child that is doing something that's not quite right, it's really up to us to, you know, try to redirect that child. And, it, you know, because that's what happened when we were growing up. You know, like you said, it takes a village, and that is
yes.
really important. And once again, if you can join the conversation at 917-889-7821, or you can email your comments, as we are beginning to get those right now, at etiquetteladies@gmail.com. I'm going to go ahead, Hakima, I'm going to go to the phone and pick up a caller to share. Extension 8189, hello. Hello, extension 8189. Okay, they could be just listening, which is perfectly fine. Let me try to pick up another caller. Extension 7713. Hello? Okay, they could be just listening as well. Sometimes we do have some of our audience will just listen via telephone, and they may not have access at the time to the computer to be able to just stream, which that's perfectly fine. But anyway, what are some other thoughts that you have on when you think of a mother or a mother image?
That's a good thing. That's a good question. When I think of a mother, I think of the responsibility of being a mother. So then it makes me kind of wonder, what is the secret to being a good mother? Those characteristics that a mother must have in order to be a good mother. Because, you know, I was Googling, like you said, the definition of mother, and it was saying that people who give birth, that's why it said a female, it makes them a mother. But if you really think about it, the actions that take place on being a mother is what kind of makes the person a good mother. Because we have people who have had kids and they have given them up for their own special reasons, or they just don't feel like they're good at being a mother. So I would just like to know, what are some of the secrets to being a good mother? And thinking about those secrets to being a good mother, I would say my secret to being a good mother is communication. Communication in any relationship just seems to be the number one key. If you can talk to your kids and talk to your mom and y'all can communicate, I think that's like the biggest secret to being a good mother. And it's one of the best characteristics, you know, that I see in a lot of mothers.
Exactly. And you talking about communication, yes, I agree. And in both talking, you know, to your children, and even more important, I think, listening to the child as well.
Yes,
because oftentimes, if we have a lot to say, we may not be listening, you know, as much as we really should. So it's really important to communicate in part, and like just like you said, communication is definitely key. And so we have to be able to listen, and not just really listen, to hear what they're saying. And when I'm thinking about, you know, being a mother or a parent, oftentimes we are put in the position where we have to really multitask.
Yes.
And multitasking, you know, trying to get so many things done, I think it's important when we are communicating with the children, we really should not be doing anything else but listening.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I do. I agree. You know, even when somebody is talking to you and giving them your undivided attention, it just shows the type of relationship you have. You got a moment just for them. So I agree with that. I really do agree with that. I would like to give some shout-out to some special women in my life. I wanted to give a shout-out to my mother, Sylvia Russell, and a great big shout-out to my grandmother, Miss May Hayes. I just sit back and think of some of the things and the experience, some of the experiences I experienced growing up. And that was one of the ones that gave their undivided attention when you needed to talk to them. A lot of times we are busy with the worldly things that we forget that individual time to take time out to listen means more to a child than anything else, you know, more than a toy, more than anything you can buy them, that just that one-on-one time, you know.
I agree with you so much. Generally, I always like to say, especially when doing parenting workshops, that you actually spell love T-I-M-E, not S-T-U-F-F.
Yes.
Okay. It's the difference between time and stuff. You know, you can buy your children things all day long, but if you are not giving them any time, what they really want is you and your time. That is so important. And I know a lot of times, you know, like you said, you know, we're often busy, and especially as younger you know, when our children are younger, we're busy, we're trying to, you know, make sure we pay bills and meet expenses and you know, just attend all the things that we're trying to do with our children. And sometimes we can get sidetracked by, well, let me just get them this and, you know, they'll be fine. And because I've worked with children who they have so many things. I mean, you have a kindergartner, or first grader with iPads and all these other electronics. And first of all, you're like, okay, you guys really know what you're doing with those. But what they're really wanting is the parent's time. So we really have to remember to certainly spend time, T-I-M-E, with the children. And especially when they're smaller, too, you know, because they won't be small forever. So we really have to really embrace that special time that we have. I'm going to go ahead and go to a break. I'm going to come back and start looking at some of the email. So we will be right back.
Mom and Dad, would you like to give your daughter a fun and memorable birthday party? Why not give her an etiquette party? Your daughter and her friends will learn how to be socially savvy, and you can select the topics you would like to include. From dining skills to posture and poise to skincare and beauty or just how to be a young lady, you can decide what will be best for her. For additional information and to book your party, go to www.pagesetiquette.com. These etiquette parties are available for other occasions as well. Your daughter will thank you and remember this one-of-a-kind party forever. www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com. Let's party.
Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back. In case you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are saluting moms, whether you are a mother, grandmother, auntie, whether you're a grandmother, godmother, this show is for you. And I've received a couple messages. You are actually, the music that you were hearing is called Mama, it's Voice of Men. And I think it's just such a very, very beautiful song. And so I've got a couple messages, people wanting to know what the name of it is. It is actually called Mama, and it's by Boys to Men. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. So you can actually Google that in YouTube and pull it up, and you can be able to listen to that in its entirety. But we've been talking about the definition of a mom. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's a biological, parent, But anyone that you are mentoring, you're mothering, you're providing that support for, we're talking about some other characteristics, right, Takima, of being
yes.
a good mother, of course, you know, being loving and patient and kind.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all, you know, very important characteristics. Those are fruits of the Spirit, actually, as well. And
yes.
so very, very important. Here I'm going to go ahead and go to an email. It says, Etiquette Lady, thanks for doing this show. I would like to salute my mom. She was a single parent as a teenager and raised three children to become productive citizens. Her name is Mary Moore. We salute her. And this comes from Jasmine, Tina, and Frank in Michigan. Okay, we will salute her as well. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we have another email here. It says, ladies, I listen to the show weekly. Thanks for what you do for the community. My Aunt Sarah raised me when my mom passed. I would like to salute her for her patience and diligence and allowing me to join her family. And this is Mary Beth from Alpharetta. So we certainly do applaud Mary Beth as well. So, yeah, so as we're saying, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be your biological mom. Now, I know with my mom, Verna, she was a single parent as well, and she raised three children, and she worked, I mean, just tirelessly to take care of us. In fact, one thing I remember, my mom, she was a nurse, and I can remember holidays, especially Christmas. It was so difficult for me to understand why a lot of my friends' parents, Takima, were at home on Christmas.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
Oftentimes she was not. She had to go to work. And so I remember I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And I asked her, I said, Mom, why do you have to go to work on Christmas? And, you know, my other friend's mom, they're at home. And what she said to me, she said, you know, I'm a nurse, and she said, I take care of sick people. And she said, just because it's a holiday, sick people don't all of a sudden get well for that day, so I don't have to go to work. So she said, so, you know, always remember that, you know, when you're taking care of sick people, they're sick on the holiday too. So when she explained that to me, yeah, I thought, wow, okay. And that really, really gave me a clear understanding of why she had to go to work on holidays, especially Christmas, because I think that was the big one that I was really having issues with. But, you know, when you're taking care of people, you know, you have to take care of them on the holidays as well. And so I understood that, and I thought, wow, that is really something. But yeah, she was a nurse, gosh, over 40 years.
Wow.
And, yeah, just always, you know, took care of others and really dedicated, you know, her life to serving and taking care of others. And so that was just, you know, it was just amazing. But to see, you know, how hard she worked and to make sure that, you know, we were fine, and we all, you know, certainly turned out fine. And her name was Verna. I thank her so much for that. And I said, if I can just be, you know, half of the woman that she was, I think I would be doing well, because she's just really, really something. And I certainly, you know, think about her and applaud her, you know, all the time. And it's coming up on 15 years this year since she passed. Mm-hmm. And just, and I would just like to say, too, those those persons out there that are listening that you have lost your mom, you know, you can't really say that it gets easier as time goes by, because it really doesn't.
It don't.
Mm-hmm. But just concentrating on the good things and the wonderful sayings and things of that nature. And I certainly want to say, because I know I had some family that lost their mom a few months ago. So this is actually the first Mother's Day. And so any of you that have lost your mother this year or over the course of this past year, and this is the first Mother's Day, and, you know, you certainly do have my condolences, because it's, you know, it's the first Mother's Day without your mom. So quite naturally, you know, that's tough. But I'm just, you know, praying for your strength and that you have, you know, wonderful, wonderful memories of your mom and look at pictures and things of that nature. And that just, that helps, you know, it helps a lot. But certainly, you know, remembering the things that she says. And I know what's funny is, you know, a lot of times when we're growing up and our mom is telling us some things and we might call it fussing or something like that. And then we end up, we say, I'm not going to say that with my kids. And then you end up, you repeat. Have you ever done that? Repeated some of the same things and you sound just like your mom, right? You know?
Yes. I know, I used to do that. I used to talk about that. Sometimes I would be standing and I'll say something to my daughter and I was like, wait a minute, you sound just like your mom. You sound just like your mom. You know,
so it is really amazing, but yeah, you know, mothers play such a very, very important role, and of course, you know, godmothers and grandmothers and spiritual mothers, they all play, you know, a very important role, and you know, we're just really blessed to have them, and so those of you who you know, are listening, you know, certainly, definitely say thank you. Or if they're still living, you know, call them or, you know, reach out to them. I won't even say send them a text or an email. I'll say send them a call or you know, make a phone call. What do you think, Takima? Because a lot of times technology can really take the personalization away from things.
I agree. I just was sitting here thinking, what do you remember? One of the gifts you gave your mother when you were younger.
Yes, I do.
Mhm. What gift was it? Can you share a little bit of that?
Oh, absolutely. My mother loved clocks. She loved clocks, and so oftentimes she would go to different. When she would travel, she would always, you know, pick up a clock from that particular. She collected clocks. But I think probably one of the most special ones I gave her was a bird clock. She loved nature and she loved birds.
Okay.
And so there's a bird clock. So each hour, a different bird would sing. You know, maybe at noon it could be maybe a red bird or cardinal would sing. And then, you know, maybe at 1 o'clock you'd hear the sound of a hummingbird. Or, you know, it was just, she loved clocks. And that is one of the ones I think was, you know, real special to her, because she also, you know, she was a nature person. I remember her always hanging. There were lots of bird feeders outside. So she loved, you know, for the birds to come up and eat. And then, you know, just loved nature as well. And what about you?
I would say I think the gift that I remember the most, I actually have two. I remember one time my mom, she was without a car. And so I was just determined that, you know, I was going to get her a car no matter what. I was that determined. And so I went, and at the same time, I was looking for a car too. So I was trying to figure out a way how to get both of us a car. So I'll never forget it. I pulled up at my mom's house in the car, and my brother was driving one car, and I was driving another car. And so my mom, she came outside. I said, I wanted you to see my nice, beautiful car. She said, oh, this is really nice. Like, you know, she was so excited. And then, as she was going, you know, looking over, I said, oh, this is beautiful. And she looked over and said, well, whose car is this? And I said, oh, I got two cars. And she looking like, wait a minute, how you get two cars? And then I just, you know, politely said, well, actually, you should sit down in this car because this car is, you like this car better than you like the other one. She was like, sure, I love this car. And it's so small. And then she got in and started talking, and she was just so excited. And then we told her it was her car. She just felt like almost fainted. She was like, ah! And it was so funny. She didn't have no clue that it was her car. So that was one of my ones I remember because it was just so funny because we did it in the neighborhood. And everybody just was laughing because she really had no clue.
Sure.
So
yeah, that is
that
so
was
nice.
One of my, that was one of the ones. And I also remember when I was a little girl, my mom used to wear red lipstick. And so I asked my grandma, I said, can you take me to the store to get my mom some red lipstick? And I don't know if you remember, but they had the lipstick that would change color.
Right. Yeah, that was called Mood Lipstick.
Yeah, something like, because, you know, they done updated it now. So it back in the day, they used to have it. They used to have the lipstick that would change color. So I went in the store, not knowing no better. I had to been about 7, 8 years old. I go in the store, and I got the lipstick. Came home, wrapped it up. My mom opened it, and she's like, oh, it's just so, I love it, I love it. And so she said, I'm going to wear it to work. And as mothers, we try to keep our word when we say something. And so not knowing that the lipstick was going to turn another color, my mom put the lipstick on, and she came downstairs, and she said, how you like it? And she had all this black lipstick on. Because the lipstick had turned black. And so I was like, what in the world? It had changed colors. It wasn't really black. It was more like a purple color. But because it looked like it was black. You know, and to an 8-year old kid, it looked a certain way. You're like, that's not the lipstick that I bought you. Yeah, that was one of my most memorable ones.
Yeah, that's funny. That's too cute. Well, wow. So listen, audience, make sure that you, you know, certainly say Happy Mother's Day to your mom's callers. Also, and I tell people and children as well to write your mom a thank you note.
Yeah.
And just tell them thank you. I mean, you could even say, Mom, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for cooking dinner. Just, you know, just a nice thank you is always so nice. And, of course, since this is an etiquette show, we're definitely going to talk about, you know, making sure that we have great etiquette when it comes to our moms and just being very appreciative. Because sometimes mothers can feel as though, you know, they are not really appreciated. And so definitely, you know, let your mom know thank you or two. Even though they're two small words, they are they have such a very powerful meaning.
Powerful.
So be conscious just to say thank you. And we're going to actually have a part two on tomorrow. But what I wanted to do on our last show was our kids show. We didn't have an opportunity to go over some of the emails, and I do want to go ahead and do those. I didn't want to think that I was ignoring them. There was one on here. We had some children on the last two shows, and they did such a great job. We had a sports show and a fashion show. Here's one. It says, Etiquette Lady, I would like to salute these children today. They are well-spoken and very brave, so proud of them. And this comes from Caroline Tucker in Atlanta. Thank you, Caroline. And there was another one we didn't have an opportunity to get to on our last show. And it just says, congratulations and thank you for what you were doing for the community. And with so much going on, starting in the White House, people seem to no longer understand what it means to be polite. Thank you for reminding people to be considerate. And this comes from Desiree. Desiree is in Miami. Thank you all for reaching out to us. We certainly really do appreciate it very, very much. Well, wow, Takiema, we're going to go ahead and prepare to wrap up for this evening. I appreciate you joining me, and thanks again for those who support our show and listen each week. Those of you who take time to send us messages and emails, we appreciate it. Those that you that call in, whether you're calling in to just kind of hang on and listen, or if you come call with your comments, we appreciate that. If you have an etiquette question, or if you have an etiquette topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know. Also, remember the golden rule. That's part of the reason we do the show as well. Treat others the way you want to be treated. We appreciate when you tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And that comes from Proverbs 3:3. We ask you to certainly initiate a random act of kindness this week, okay? And I see a couple other messages that were asking about the song that I played. That is called Mama by Boys to Men. After the outro, we're going to play a little more of that song so you can enjoy that. But you can YouTube. It's called Mama. It's by Boys to Men. You can YouTube. In fact, we're going to play a little of that, and then we'll go ahead and conclude our show. But thanks again, guys, for listening, for tuning in. We'll talk again. Actually, we have another show on tomorrow, okay? Good night. Take care. God bless. And enjoy the song as we go out.
Please join us again next time as we'll discuss another exciting topic.